Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
This is going to be a night that you're going to adjust some things in your life. I know we're all perfect in this room tonight, so that's probably going to be hard to find, but I really think God wants to do that. I think He wants us to just kind of recommit our lives to what He has for us, and He wants to challenge us in those areas. And so what I'm going to speak about tonight is about the life of David. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I'm going to talk about the different seasons in his life and how he would contend for the things of God. He was known as the man that was what? He was the man after God's what? His own heart. And so he was that way at the end. I believe he was that way at the beginning. And so we want to look at him a little bit and understand a little bit about his life. He's got a traumatic, inspiring story. There's times that he was a hero. There was times that you can see the virtue. You can see also times of scandal in his life. You can see the power of God released in it. And I would really encourage you to read 1 and 2 Samuel about David's life, because it's so encouraging to us as we say yes to the things of God. God called David a man after his own heart. And when we begin to study David's life, we find something very powerful in his life. And it is a root system. He has a root system of intimacy with God. And he developed it when he was a young man. And so that's what I'm going to challenge all of us tonight. Where is our root system? Have we given up on our root system? If you have a strong root system, you have to understand that it takes time for those roots to strengthen and go deep. And that's what I want to encourage you in. I'm going to tell you tonight that God is worth it. Jesus is worth it. And whatever is trying to take you away from focusing on the Lord, it doesn't even come close. It is not worth it. And Jesus is worth it. And David knew that the Lord was worth it. 1 Samuel 13:14, that's where I find that scripture. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And through decades, David developed this life of intimacy. And so tonight, I just want to go through it. I want to make that first commandment a priority in our life again. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. That tonight, whatever is causing us not to have that relationship, that we would delete it. That we would hear the Lord tonight in the Word. That we would see God in David's life. And that we would reset our lives to say yes and delete the things that are hindering us. And I want to challenge you with that tonight in a powerful way. One of the things that we see about David that he was really serious about God. And you begin to catch through the scripture that God was pretty serious about David. And I want you to know that he is serious about you tonight. And he wants you to be serious about him. David obeyed the commandments of the Lord. He set his heart to fully obey God. You may have a broken life right now. You may be in a broken place. You may be suffering from some things that are just hindering you to walk in the ways of God. But tonight you can say yes again to the Lord. And I felt this all day long, that there were folks in here tonight that were going to just recommit. And I really felt that it was Christians that have been on a journey for a while and saying, I'm tired of the mundane. I'm going to go hard after the things of God. I'm not going to let anything take a priority over spending time and knowing God like David did. So Holy Spirit, I ask for your help tonight. I ask that you would lead, that you would teach, that you would comfort us tonight, but you would also point us in the direction of trusting the Lord with all of our heart. So Lord, have your way in this message. So David, number one, he obeyed the commands of God. You can see that through his life. And number two, it seems like David, he studied the emotions of the Lord. He cultivated a life of intimacy, and he found out how emotionally in love God was with him. Some people say, don't trust your emotions. God is an emotional God. We need to understand that. And he knew God's emotions, and he cultivated that intimate relationship. Another thing that you find in David's life is that he contended for the purpose of God and the purpose of God's heart. He sought the fullness of God. He would seek the fullness of who God was and his purpose. And one of the things that I think is so important is that he wanted to do all that he could in the time that he was allowed to live in his generation for God. What are you going to do for your generation that you're living in? What am I going to do? We can never, ever give up. And as we were singing about trusting in the Lord, the God of Jacob, it just comes so clear to me that, you know what? If you say yes to God, it does not matter what the enemy will try to do to your life. You will be an overcomer as you trust in him. And you've got to trust him. You've got to believe. You've got to contend for your purpose, because we're all battling for our destinies in God. It doesn't matter what age we are. David served the purpose of God for his generation. You can even find that spoken about in Acts 13:36. So find out what God is doing in our generation right now, and do it with everything you have. Find out what he's called you to. If you're going to try to figure out life and figure out your destiny and lay out your plans, this is what I'm going to do, and you don't include God, it's not going to be fulfilled. It's not going to have fullness of joy. It's not going to have a purpose attached to it, because you're going to get off the track again. Now, David got off the track a lot. And so if you've gotten off the track, God is with open arms saying, come on, we can do this. And he will not give up on you. David was a witness of the model of obedience and faith. And you can see that. It says in the scripture, in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. If you are loyal to the Lord and you say yes to the Lord is going to strongly support you. David was loyal to the things of God. He was loyal in love and intimacy with the Lord. He got away, even in, you know, in the mundane things of taking care of sheep. He found the Lord, and it was a powerful thing within his life. So no matter what, be loyal in your love to God. Whether it's in school or in college or in work or whatever it may be, in your family, be loyal in the love of God. There's all kinds of tests that you and I go through in every season. And we're going to look at a few seasons of David. And we'll see the tests that David went through. And you probably are going through some of them right now that he went through. That's why I really encourage you to study the life of David. Matter of fact, in Isaiah 55:4, this is 300 years after David. And God speaks about David in Isaiah 55:4, and he says, indeed, I have given him, David, as a witness to the people, as a model to the people. So David's life is a model to us. We can look at it. We can learn from it. David had many failures. And if you really highlighted all the failures, it's amazing that he was a man after God's own heart. So let's look at the first season when David was born. Now you can write this down. We won't go through the chapters, but it's found in 1 Samuel 16 and 17. Chapter 16 and 17. We'll kind of call this the Bethlehem years. And this was David's teen years when he was a teenager. And one of the biggest things that he suffered as a teen was rejection. Have you suffered rejection? Have you went through rejection? I know you have. I have. But in these years, David was tested by rejection. And David was also tested by just being faithful to God and just taking care of some sheep. He was faithful in the small things. Sometimes we would say the mundane things. But every bit of that was preparing him so that he could lead and be a leader. So he had to learn that in the small things, that it mattered to God. In the small things, in the mundane things, he was faithful. He found his identity in his relationship with God. And this is what he come to understand. He come to understand that God really, really loved him. And that is such a purpose for all of us. When we can begin to understand that God really, really loves us, we have success at our doorstep. Because we're allowing ourselves to be loved by God. And he cultivated that love. He found it in that relationship. And in the small things. David had to overcome rejection in his family. And some of you may know the story. But that was his first season. So his first season had rejection, but it also had the love of God. It had him cultivating a life of intimacy, and he's probably 16, 17 years old right here when we begin to talk about when Samuel started looking for him. Some of you may know that Samuel was an amazing prophet, and Samuel showed up in Bethlehem, and that's where he was. That's where David was. And when Samuel showed up, it was a small little town. It didn't mean much of anything. But when Samuel showed up to that town, everybody knew Samuel was in town. Everybody knew. Because he was the prophet. And he showed up and he started asking about this guy named Jesse and his sons. And he said he wanted to talk to Jesse and he wanted to see his sons. And so David had this life of intimacy. And it starts in 1 Samuel 16, 10 through 13. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. Samuel gets them together. I don't know if it's dinner. I don't know what it is, but at his home. So he has the seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." The rejection is already hugely taking place. David is nowhere to be found. He's a scrawny guy. He's the guy that's up in the hills, taking care of the sheep, playing a harp, and writing some real wild songs. I like that guy. Wild songs. It's kind of strange. It's a poetic guy. He says, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" And then he said, "There remains yet the youngest." Now I want you to really look at this. And he says, "And there he is, keeping the sheep." David, you know that everybody spoke about Samuel being there. You know everybody knew why he was there. And now he's speaking to Jesse, David's dad. And he's in ear distance, or at least sight away. And so David is taking care of the sheep, doing his chores. And he's looking, and he sees this going on. What kind of rejection do you think he felt? He wasn't invited. His family didn't invite him. So Samuel and Jesse were able to see him, and there he is, keeping the sheep. He sent and brought him in, and the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him. For this is the one." In this scene, a lot of times when people read that scripture, they say that's the great time of anointing for David. But it's the great time also of his rejection, of what he went through. So others may reject you, but God has anointed you. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We all have a purpose and destiny in this generation. And so even though you may suffer rejection even right now, you've got to view how God loves you, how he's for you, how he has anointed you to do the things of God. Are you with me? Do you get it? So you can't say that, you know, I don't have anything. No matter what takes place, every season is a season to equip you and cause you to be able to walk out your destiny in the Lord. Psalm 27:10 says, "When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. Some of you may have experienced that. And then Psalm 38:11 says, my loved ones and my friends stand aloof. My relatives stand afar off. You see the pain in that one? Can you see the pain in that one when your relatives and your friends, and they don't even want anything to do with you? They're standing away from you. But David was faithful to serve behind the scenes. He was responsible for the small things. That's a huge lesson. In the next years of David's life, kind of from the ages of 18 to 22, these are the years that many people know about the story of Goliath. So David's went through all that, and he's been anointed to be king of Israel. And yet the people around him, it seems like he's still just serving and into the mundane things, because all of a sudden there's this great Philistine that stands about 10 feet tall. And he's challenging the armies of Israel. And of course, Saul's not going to go out and fight him. He's the king at that time. Nobody's going to take him on. And David is going about the mundane things again in his life. And David is bringing food to his brothers. Doesn't have any armor on, nothing. And so he goes to bring the food. And what happens is David comes close, and David hears this Philistine. And he hears him coming against God and against God's people. And David won't have anything to do with it. And of course, you guys know the story. And when that happened, here's another phase of David's life. Rejection, still doing the things of the Lord, still seeking God, not giving up. And all of a sudden, David takes on this giant. It's 10 feet tall. And he slays this giant. How did he do that? He didn't do it with the stones. He did it from a place of intimacy with God. He knew that God was with him. It wasn't just that he's going to take him down with him. He knew that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was with him. How did he know that? Because of the first season in his life. He cultivated a root system, a life with God. And at the moment that he needed to stand up and take the enemy on, he had what it took to fight that giant. He had the relationship. I ask you today, I ask myself, what is taking you away from that type of relationship? What relationship is taking you away from that? Because if you're saved, and that's a good thing, and you know God, but you don't have a life of intimacy, you don't have a life of talking to God and communing with God. When Goliath shows up, and he's going to show up in one form or another, will you be able to address it and deal with it? Or will you cower in fear because you never had the root system to deal with it? That's what the Lord is challenging me. And I know he's challenging all of us about that. That we have the root system to walk through anything. When you begin to see the things that you see on TV, and you begin to see the things take place in the Ukraine, when you begin to see the stage being set, and you can see how it's being played out, and the chess game is being set in place, and people are against this place called Israel, Jerusalem. If there's anything you need to remember tonight, remember this. Israel is the timepiece of God. It tells you what time it is and the days in which we're living. And so when all this stuff starts taking place, some of the things stir me up. They really do. But my position is that I'm in position with Christ in such a way that no matter what happens around me, that intimate relationship through a deep root system of faith, hope, and love can stand the test of anything, and I can stand up and be bold about who I am in Christ and who Christ is in me. Warriors. That's what God's asking. That's what David was. He was a warring king. And it all came from a place of knowing Christ, knowing his God, and trusted Him. So in this next phase from 18 to 22, it's all of a sudden David now he beats, slays Goliath, and all of a sudden immediately he goes into this well-known individual. And so there's popularity, there's success, because he killed Goliath. He goes into national prominence. Guess what happens? He gets to marry the king's daughter. He's moved. The scripture, it's really powerful. I'll read it to you here in a minute. But Saul said, "You're not going back home to Jesse anymore. You're going to live in the palace. You're living with me." And so he marries the king's daughter. And he lives in the palace, the royal court. And he is celebrated by all of Israel as this great warrior. Now, when we talk about David, you can sit here and say, "Oh, that's a good message. Hey, that's a good word." I'm challenging you tonight. Get to know the life of David. Read 1 and 2 Samuel. Know who he is. See how he moved through his seasons in his life and what he cultivated. David hears the Lord's heart. In 1 Samuel 18, 2 through 5, it says this: "Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. And Saul set him over the men of war." He set him over the men of war. "And he was accepted in the sight of all the people." David's fame was everywhere. David was in the royal family. Nobody would kill that Goliath but David. His brothers wouldn't. So here's what happens sometimes when you're in the body of Christ, when you're walking out your destiny. Sometimes you get a promotion. You've went through rejection. You've went through all kinds of stuff, because God wants you to really learn what it feels like to be rejected and still trust God. He really does. He doesn't want you to get bitter and talk about all those people that did you wrong. Sorry, don't mean to offend you, but that's a weak way out. It's a weak way out when your tongue does all this talking. And it just shows that you're more focused on those folks that did you wrong than you're focused on the one that can heal you and move you forward. We've got to trust Him. We've got to move forward. So he went through all that, went through the rejection. He went through promotion in this second season of his life. There's a scripture, Proverbs 27, 21. It says, "The crucible is for silver, but man is tested by the praise he receives." So if all of a sudden you get praise, it doesn't matter what it's in. It could be any little thing. How do you respond to that? Then all of a sudden, you remember the story of David being praised more than Saul. You know that story. And Saul got really jealous. Jealousy set in. You know, Saul has slain thousands, but David has slain 10,000s. And so now, all of a sudden, everything shifts into another season. It's another season. Now he's hated. And this is probably from a lifespan about 23 years old to 30 years old. He's tested. And he goes into the wilderness. And he starts running. And Saul, listen to this. Saul doesn't just send a few men after him. He sends 3,000 men after David to destroy him, to kill him. Now David's in a season where he's running for his life. But he's still trusting that God called him and anointed him to be the king. The Lord was training him. And he was training him to be a great warrior. And God rises up on David's behalf. But 3,000 men were after David in the wilderness. Saul was demonized. He was filled with jealousy and hatred. In 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2, it says this: "David escaped to the cave of Adullam. Everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him." So God is training men that seem to be the outcasts of society. He's training men that nobody wants to have anything to do with. And he's got David hiding in caves. He's got David, this king who's going to be the king over all the land, learning all the territory. Because he's running all over the territory, running from Saul. It has something to do with him being a good king in his future, to know the land. Samuel describes how young David is and how he is mistreated by an older and jealous leader, King Saul. Samuel describes how an elderly David was attacked by a young, ambitious leader, Absalom. These are all different seasons. And I've said this over and over. Nobody can stop the hand of God in your life but you. David knew that nobody could stop God's hand or God's will in his life. Not Saul, no Philistines, anything, no devil, nothing could stop him. Why? Because he trusted in a relationship with God. Then it goes on to say about the years in Hebron, when he was like from 30 to 37, David was tested because he received, you know, he was supposed to be king of all Israel. Well, he was tested again. You know how? He was given just one city or one tribe to be king over. How would you handle that? You've been told that you're going to be the king over all Israel. And guess how David handled it? In humility. In the wisdom of God. And he went and served that one city. You can see the seasons, right? You can see the changes. You can see all the things that took place in David's life. 13 years earlier, he was promised all the tribes. 2 Samuel 2:1, it says, David inquired of the Lord during this time. Now listen to this. David inquired of the Lord. What does inquired mean? It means he was a man of prayer. He sought the Lord and he prayed. He inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to any of these cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, go up, David. David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. Can you imagine the 400 guys that are hanging out with him that are believing that we're going to have the whole thing, we're going to be over all the nations. And then all of a sudden, David says, I'm just taking one. Humility, man. Brokenness. Listening. Acquiring God's direction for the direction of his life. When God tells you something, and you know what you're called to do, don't let people put you in that position. Let God. Let God. Nothing can stop it when God's with you. God wants the best for you guys. But David was dedicated. He trusted God. You know, I think of Jesus when he could take a nap in a storm. He trusted his Father. He knew what was going on. And then at the end, now he finally has everything. From the age of about 37 to 70, David was tested. And this is how he was tested. He was tested by walking in the fulfillment of the promises of God. When you finally get into that place and you feel like you're walking in the fulfillment of the promises of God, sometimes more temptation, it becomes one of your toughest times, and you can even get bitter at other people. Prosperity was all around David. It was a season of greatness and blessing. David's greatest failures are recorded in Scripture during that season of life. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 14. It says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, lest you have built beautiful houses, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord. So where are you tonight? Where are you at? The Lord has given you an invitation to walk in the fullness of who God called you to be. Where are you at? What's taking more of your time than being with him? What's distracting you away? What can be done tonight in the agreement of your heart with the heart of God? What can you confess? Say, Lord, man, this message is an encouraging message. It's about seasons of a man's life that was called by God. And every one of you have seasons. just here recently, the Lord has just really been hammering my heart and shifting my heart. And He's been really pointing me toward the house of prayer and being in His presence more. He's also shown me areas that I've allowed to take precedence over knowing Him and being close to Him. And He's calling me back to that place of my first love, that I would love Him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. That I would have the assurance of this love. And with that assurance, you can do anything. You can go anywhere because you know God's with you. So I'm encouraging you tonight, all of us, that if there's anything we need to lay down, let's do it. Let's allow God to put Him in the priority that He needs to be in our life. Let's just have that big yes and say yes again, Lord. God really understands our failures. He understands all that stuff. And just because you fail, don't let people say things that try to move you into that cave, you know? Just learn from it and pray for them. Maybe some of you feel like you should be farther down the road in the things of ministry. If you really look at your life, every season is a season that God is preparing you. And so you can look at every season, no matter what you've went through, as, man, I've learned so much. It was so hard, but I've learned so much. So let's stand just for a minute. I was really encouraged by this message. This message has been shared a lot, and many people have spoken on the heart of David. So I guess I'm just asking you guys to sign up again tonight. And you really, you know, you don't have to come forward. I guess I'm really challenging you tonight. Whatever it takes, sign up with God. If you mock God and you think, if you're belittling sometimes God's people, or you're mocking the things of the Lord, it's a very dangerous place. Right now, the reality is this. Jesus is absolutely alive. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father, a fiery throne. And the Ancient of Days is there, and it says that the fiery wheels are turning, meaning the purposes of God are being unfolded, even as we speak. And the angels of God are warring on our behalf. And Satan is continually coming after you to stop you from your purpose. And he's real. And even if you don't believe that, let me just testify. I've been face to face with many demons in a season of my life. And I've watched these things take place. And I've watched them cower by the power of the name of Jesus. I watched a world-renowned artist. If I said his name, you would recognize who it is in paintings. Spent a week in his home. And because of things that were set against him at a young age, he had gotten saved, but yet he was bound by the enemy. I had that enemy just laugh in my face and saying, "You'll never, you have no authority, you have no right here." And I said, "You're right. I don't, but Jesus does." And I watched a crazy situation, very dark. And I watched that demon scream as loud as he could, and he left. And the presence of God showed up and the power of the Lord, and this man began to weep and laugh, and we begin to worship. Heaven is real, hell is real. So today, let's just sign up. Let's not play games in any way, shape, or form. Not saying that you are, I'm just saying if there's anything that's in the way of you knowing God, let's address it tonight. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to help us. That tonight we want to make a declaration that we're signing back up to love you and to go after you, God, with all of our heart. We're returning to our first love. We're going to trust you and not live in fear. So, Lord, I just ask that you would come. Holy Spirit, come. Touch these wonderful people. Let them know that the war is raging and the nations are going to rage against your Son. Quietly where you're at, just ask the Lord to come and help you. Say, Lord, I want to sign up again. I receive your grace and your mercy. I want to be a man or a woman after your heart. For your love to rain down right now. Next season of my life. So easy to love. In 30 days, things could completely change. In 3 days, in 3 years, as I trust you, you can move me out of one situation into a whole nother realm as I trust you. But I reset my life to trust in your word, to trust in your voice. Sign up again.